Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Friday, the 1st of May.
Good morning.
We got grandmother with us. Our granny panic attack yesterday. Full on panic attack. Couldn't breathe on the floor in a ball. But it's turning out all right, isn't it? Do you want to give them the update?
What, they're both doing well. Little one weighs just under 3 pounds. We'll know more later when Jodie's been down to see him. And then we might even have a name for him.
And a picture's what you want.
Yes, definitely a picture of his cheeky little face.
Jodie hasn't even seen him yet, has she?
No. Scheduled. She's heard his lungs.
Yeah, scheduled for about 8 o'clock tonight, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, but they're going to let her go down and take some pictures because it helps with her expressing.
Okay. Got to express that milk. So there you go. My day was spent fending off calls of being called granddad and grandpa.
Indeed, and we've still not settled on anything.
No, well, I don't really wish to.
I'm Nana.
I'm a bit young, aren't I?
Huh? You say so.
A bit young, aren't I? I didn't expect to get to this stage before I reach 50, I'm not going to lie. Feel a bit... I'm pleased for it all.
It didn't matter. You could be a young papa.
Maybe, yeah. Young, I like that bit. Yeah, we'll keep that bit.
So we'll call you Young Papa then.
Young Papa. sound like a singer out the 60s. Next up, it's Young Papa.
Oh, you do try to sing. Huh? We'll give you that.
Oi. Watch it. No sing along a Friday. See, this has all been interrupted. Where are we? What are we going to do? You want to do a couple of recipes?
Yeah, I'm going to do classic potted prawns and a cheese scone recipe.
But before we get to that, you were ridiculing me for getting pissed in London the other day. I'm going to share a little bit of when you got absolutely hammered.
Okay.
Because women do things differently, don't they? Women like to have a drink before they go out.
Yes.
Like I say I'm going out and I don't have 5 pints before I go out. I go out to the pub or wherever, go to the football, and I'll have the drink when I get there. But you like to, you know you're going to go out and you think it's a good idea beforehand to drink a bottle of wine or Prosecco or K-Cider or whatever it is
before you go out. Those are the days.
Before you K-Cider. Go out. Well, you used to drink K-Cider.
Well, you banned me from doing it.
Yeah, because you used to get flipping hammered. That's why.
Yeah, but the reason women do that is because their makeup goes on better and their hair goes on better. You are looking at yourself through a few rose tinted.
Oh, behave yourself.
It does.
You are talking
shite. It does. You're
there.
Relaxed, you're chilled, and it's a cheap night out because it's cheaper to drink a bottle before you get pissed and then you can drink water. I used to be able to go out.
Your makeup goes on better because you're drinking.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, fuck off. It's you see what we have to put up with here.
But it's part of... you men don't know what makeup's like, do you? Because you don't wear it.
No, but I know that drinking alcohol impedes pretty much every action, so there's no way you can do it better when you're drinking. That's like saying I can drive my car better.
It does go on better.
Of course it doesn't.
It's easier.
Huh? No, you're talking...
But you have no idea because you don't wear makeup, so...
I've an idea that you're talking nonsense. That's what I've got
I'm
an
not
idea.
I'm talking nonsense
Flipping,
at all.
Flipping, dearie me.
Look, it does. I'm telling you.
Nonsense. Well, we do have some women listeners. If you want to back that ridiculous claim up, because I have... It's up there with the most... I mean, it's just almost Suggsy. Like, if Suggsy was a woman, that's what he would be coming out with. It's up there with some of the most ridiculous...
Do you want to put that up for debate as well?
It's up there with some of the most ridiculous things I've heard.
Yeah, but you men don't get ready like that. Like, we women take our time getting ready. We have a shower, a bath, a bubble bath, nice...
But I still don't see what they're getting pissed before you go out.
We do all this for you boys.
I'm not so sure.
Why? I don't know.
So, anyway, you don't drink much now, but you did used to like a little... K-Cider when I met you.
Yes, I did.
And then you, this particular night, we were living in...
Biddeford.
And you had, you'd gone out with the girls and I'd gone out with the boys. And we met up in, I think it was called Caesars in Biddeford, wasn't it? It was Nero's in Oakey and Caesars in Biddeford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was very obvious when I did meet up with you that you were completely and utterly out your tree. So when it got late enough, I thought it was time to take you home.
Right. Was I doing anything naughty?
I don't know, you were hammered, you were just, I mean, it's years, it is years ago, we're going back. This is, I don't know, it's 20 years plus ago, isn't it?
Oh, more.
Yeah. So I said, come on, it's time to get you home. And we came out of the nightclub, walked down, and people who don't know Biddeford, it's on the river, and there's a quay, Biddeford Quay, and there's not really any protection, I don't know whether there is now, but there wasn't back then, from the quay to falling into the
very
river
deep water.
Torridge, I think it is, the river Torridge flowing down at quite a rate.
Mm.
So we're walking along the quay heading home, and I said to you, after about 200 yards, where's your coat? And you went, I don't know. And I went, did you hand it in the cloakroom? I think so. I said, right. And I sat you on a bench on the quay.
You did.
And ran back to try and get your coat, because it was brand new, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, first time you'd worn it, I believe. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was back when it was expensive at Next.
So I ran back in the old nightclub cloakroom. They wouldn't let me. They told me I got to come back the next day. Wouldn't let me in there to have a look to find it. So I then run back down the quay, and the bench where I've left you sat is empty.
Dum, dum, dum.
and my... I literally was about four steps to the edge, to the river. And I thought, if she stood up, she's gone in there. Because you were staggering all over the shop. And I, heart went in my mouth. And I thought you'd gone in there. I had a blind panic, looked down over the quay, couldn't see anything. And the taxi rank was there. And I knew one of the taxi drivers. And I said, have you seen Sam? He said, no. I said, fucking ass, I think she might have fallen in this river. She's absolutely pissed. He said, jump in the car and I'll drive you around, try and find her, which we did. So we sort of drove the route, and then we turned up. We lived up a hill, and the houses were one side of the hill and the road the other side has just got a great big wall, about 30 feet, 40 feet high, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And as we turn the corner around there, all we see is you bouncing off the wall, trying to get up this hill. You're sort of taking a step forward, step sideways the wall. Step forward, step sideways into the wall.
It was climbing a mountain.
It was. I was relieved.
With very wobbly legs.
I was very relieved, I have to say, because I did think
I was nearly home as well.
I think you'd gone in the water.
Another 2 minutes and you wouldn't have known.
No, another 2 minutes you'd have been where you ended up for the night with your head down the toilet.
Yes.
For
2 hours you held my air. Yeah. Bless you.
Yeah, sort of things I have to do. And I mean, that was a long time ago, and I say you don't drink much now, but we did almost have a repeat performance in Glasgow when we went up to see Scott Scott from Mince and Tatty Scott from FTS Scott Scott, whose mum named him after the country, and his lovely wife Lee. We went up there for a couple of days with him, just went out for a nice drink and a meal, and you got absolutely shit-faced there,
didn't
you?
We went to the wintry, didn't we?
Yeah, that's why I set fire to the menu.
You did.
I set fire to the menu, and you got absolutely shit-faced.
Yeah, my legs wouldn't work again.
And you got your pyjamas on and went and stuck your head in the toilet, and I said, come on, let's go to bed. And you went, no, leave me here.
Because the bathroom floor was lovely and cold on my face.
So I think you need to remember these stories fall asleep on a train once in 49 years. Once.
Well, and I've been drunk like that twice in 28 years we've been together.
That's true, yes.
I think the ratio to me getting drunk and you getting drunk is 10 to 1.
What's that? 2 to 20? I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take 20. Yeah, definitely. I will take 20. Anyway, they don't want to listen to us being flipping degenerates.
Well, it used to be. Now we're locked in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so I've got a classic potted prawn recipe.
Oh, not bacon. We're moving into, what's this sort of a startery type thing, is it? Startery
well,
or a little summer luncheon?
Yeah, it were. But the only thing with it, you do have to leave it in the fridge overnight to set. So if you want it on a certain day, it is good if you want to plan ahead and you want to have it for...
a little celebration.
Yeah. But yeah.
And on the celebration, can we say happy birthday to Alexander Reed?
Ah, happy birthday.
Who is 4 years old today. Happy birthday, Alexander. Get your dad to make classic potted prawns and have them tomorrow as a special occasion for
your
birthday.
You'll probably want something sugary and sweet and chocolatey.
Matt's a FTS member who actually, I believe, I've got to check this because I can't remember what exactly he sent to me. But Matt, I believe, was born... he arrived 6 weeks early, weighing only 4 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And Matt is a big strapping lad now, because I've seen him. So there you go. Yeah, and it's his boy's four-year-old birthday. Happy birthday, Alex.
Have a lovely, lovely day.
Have a lovely, lovely little day. Have a beautiful little day. Yeah. Go after him, Dad. Treat him. Spoil him. Make him some classic potted prawns. Right, go.
Okay. The recipe requires... 100 grams of unsalted butter, 2 pinches of cayenne pepper, a generous grating of nutmeg, 350 grams of peeled prawns or shrimps, a nice crusty loaf, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and a lemon cut into wedges. That's just to serve. So you need to make this the day before if you want it, because it needs to set overnight. So you melt the butter in a small pan over a low heat and add the cayenne pepper and nutmeg. Add the prawns or shrimps to the pan, stir to warm through and season with some salt and pepper. Using a large slotted spoon, remove the prawns and press them into the ramekins or little dishes that you want the potted prawns to be set in. Cook them. Cool them, chill them for 10 to 15 minutes or until set. Once set, pour the leftover butter in the pan over the prawns to cover. You might need to reheat this to melt. Return to the fridge and set overnight. And then serve with some nice crusty bread or some bread with some olive oil on. And that's a nice little lunch or a nice little starter when we can have people around for food again. And it's something that you can get ready the night before, which is even better.
Yeah, I've done potted shrimp or potted prawns on one of our dinner parties,
yes,
didn't I?
Have, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It is a good little simple style. Like you say, if you're having people around, you get stuff you can make the day before. It's really good. But it's a nice lunch, and you can make them up, have them in the fridge for lunch. Beautiful. And you're doing some what?
Cheese scones.
And it is scones, so anybody who thinks it's scones can go and do one. We're having cheese scones, not cheese scones. Scones. I bet the North. What do the Northerners call them? Do we know? I bet you they'll tell me anyway. They'll come out and say, you got that wrong. It's scones.
Yes, it is scones. And it, for me, is jam, then cream for normal scones. Not the other way around. So mine's Cornish. That's how I do them.
Yeah, and you're from Devon.
Yeah.
That sums you up.
That's really right.
Yeah, that just about sums you up. The only person from Devon who does it the Cornish way.
Yeah, but if you put the jam on top, your hands get all sticky.
If you put the jam on first, you're putting a jammy spoon or knife into your cream. So you put the cream on first. Cream goes on, then get a spoon, get the jam on top. No,
yeah, but you get the jam, it's sticky
no
jam in your mouth.
No polluting the utensils with the other, then. It's all
we
about.
We won't go into the beans and eggs scenario.
I've told them about the beans and eggs. I've told them I'm a bit OCD with that stuff.
A bit.
Fuck off, come on. Get
right,
this done.
Cheese scones.
We've got a busy day.
Right, you need to heat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius, 180 degrees.
Easy for you to say.
Oh, piss off. 180 fan and gas 6, and you want to put a large baking tray inside to warm, because you need to put the scones on top of the...
On a hot tray?
Yes, because they cook better. Right, the ingredients are... a bit croaky. Mm. 225 grams of self-raising flour, plus extra for dusting, a pinch of salt, a pinch of cayenne pepper, 1 tablespoon of baking powder... 55 grams of chilled butter cut into cubes, 120 grams of mature cheddar grated, 90 to 100ml of milk plus a tablespoon for glazing. But I also would put half a teaspoon of English mustard in just to bring out the flavour of the cheese. Right. You sift the flour, salt, cayenne pepper and baking powder into a bowl. And then sift again to make sure that it's completely smooth. Add the butter to the bowl and combine with your fingertips like you're making a crumble. Sprinkle 100 grams of the cheese into the breadcrumb mixture and rub together until evenly distributed. Try not to mix too much as the heat from your hands may start to melt the butter. Make a well in the centre of the mixture and pour in enough milk to give a fairly soft but firm dough. Don't pour all the milk in at once as you may need to get it to the right consistency, so you don't want it too soggy. Lightly flour the surface and roll out the dough to approximately 2 centimetres thick. Cut out the scones with a medium, about 8 centimetres cutter, and then put on the baking parchment. Glaze with a little milk and sprinkle with the remaining cheese. Slide onto the hot oven tray. Bake in the oven for 15 to 20 minutes or until golden brown and cook through. Ta-da, done.
Ta-da, done. Right, okay.
Scones.
Cheese scones.
And potted prawns.
So what, I've never had a cheese scone.
Have you not?
So what do you do then? When they, like a jam and a currant scone, you cut it in half
well,
and
you
put,
what
do you do with a cheese scone?
To be honest, they are really only good for the day. They're not, I mean, they might be okay for the next day, but they don't last very long, the cheese scones.
Yeah, but you don't put jam and cream in them, so what
no,
do you put in the middle?
No, you don't, you donut. Unless
no one said, no one mentioned donuts. What do you do with the, what do you put in the middle?
Well, you can have whatever you want. You could have it with some butter and some smoked salmon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or some cream cheese, or...
You could make some, couldn't you, then?
Or you could have some cheese and pickle in it.
You could make some, or we could try it.
I am baking today.
Right, well, you
for our friend's birthday.
Oh,
we're
yeah,
going to
Linda's
make Linda some,
tomorrow, yeah.
some of the lemony shortbreads.
Yeah.
But she likes Maltesers, so I'm going to put some Maltesers on the top when they come out the oven. And I'm making her a Guinness cake,
yeah.
a chocolate Guinness cake, which is divine.
Well, we'll do that one another day. Right, you done? Can I get on with the proper business of the day now?
What, singing?
Huh? Are you done?
I'm done.
Right.
I'm out of here.
Sod off.
Have a lovely day, everybody. Speak to you soon.
Oh, I thought she'd never go. Yes, thank everybody for their well wishes. It's much appreciated. Sorry I didn't thank everybody on Twitter yesterday, but obviously was doing other things, trying to get a grasp on exactly what the situation was. But they are all noted. I thank everybody, and a belated congrats to my grandson's birthday is going to be forever linked with Lord Dio, because it was his anniversary, I believe, yesterday. I think that's right. I scrolled through this morning. So congrats, belated congrats, Dio. Hope you had a lovely day with your good lady. Right, what else have we got? One thing I want to happen today. There's only one thing I really want to happen, and that is... I'm absolutely desperate for whoever it is tonight that does the briefing, Boris Johnson, Dominic Raab, Matt Hancock, whoever it is, to come out and when they do the figures for them to have hit the 100,000 tests. Because ever since he said it, they've all been waiting. They've all been waiting if he doesn't hit that number to have a go. Who's going to take the rap for it? Who's going to lose? Who's losing their job? You said 100,000. That's what it is, isn't it? They're sitting there today willing him not to get there. They've ramped up massively in the last few days. 30,000, 50,000, 80-odd thousand. I so badly want them to get to 100,000. Even if they get the 97, you can see the likes of Piers Morgan. You said this. You got to go. Somebody's got to take the rep. Absolute, complete and utter fucking parasitic world we are living in. It is driving me mental. The whole lot of them. But somebody again, people keep sending me shit. A video of a doctor. I mean, I've... This is nothing. I mean, I can't stand Boris Johnson. Don't get me wrong. I've said that clearly, and I thought Matt Hancock in the run-up to the election was an absolute, complete and utter embarrassment. But I come back to, always, with things like this, I try and use a bit of devil's advocate and a bit of level-headedness, that this is an absolute worldwide, call it a disaster, worldwide issue. Everybody's after PPE. Every country's got people dying. Everybody was at different levels of it. As Chris Whitty has said, we are only at the beginning. We're only at the first phase, the first wave of this. Until we have a vaccine, it's going to go on. So to sit there day in, day out, wanting to blame people, I find absolutely staggering. And the human race, as I keep saying, never fails to fucking surprise me. Sitting there. If I was in charge of this, and I'm not saying that there, my goal would be to get people from all parties, all sides. I would be saying to the Keir Starmers of this world, you know, you've got people who are experts in this field, excellent at that. You know them, really good at that. And actually bringing some sort of unity together to sit down and deal with it. I get no idea at all why people want to use an issue like this to split along political lines and have a fucking argument about it when there's people dying. There's no compassion in that. It's just fucking bollocks. I find it absolutely staggering. And then you get sent things of a doctor in this said that and a doctor. If I was a doctor who could help with this, I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be getting hold of Chris Whitty. I'd be getting hold of Patrick Vallance. I'd be getting hold of John Tam. I'd have been getting hold of Matt Hancock. I'd have been getting hold of Boris Johnson. I'd have been getting hold of the Oxford University research departments saying, I've got this theory, I think I can help there. The absolute last thing I'd be doing is going on fucking YouTube and making a video about it. Oh, here, Gene, pass us the camera. I've got an idea about this. Pass us the camera. I'm a doctor, I can do this. What fucking good does that serve? Absolutely none whatsoever. Even if you think it does, not one ounce of fucking good comes out of shit like that. Oh, here are you. Gene, get the video. Turn the lights on. Yeah, let's have a... Absolute nonsense. And I'm staggered by it. And I'm no Conservative fan. I'm no massive, as I've said, no massive fan of Boris Johnson at all. But I do want them to hit the 100,000 because people like Piers Morgan will be boiling their piss when he comes out. Because then it'll have to move on to something else. That's, I mean, they have geared up their next 3 or 4 days headlines on Hancock getting the sack or whatever because they don't get these 100,000 tests. You know, I mean, we're lucky. You take the situation yesterday with the baby. Very difficult from long range. You don't really know what's going on. You know, Sam's desperate to get out there. But I'm of the view always Jodie's in the right place. The doctors are there. And we're fortunate we live in an era where now there's a million odd Twitter doctors. So we don't need to worry about anything, do we? Because there's millions of them. So many Twitter doctors who are experts in it and epidemiologists and pandemic management. We've got so many of them now and that you can't possibly... What could possibly go wrong with all these experts in the world? I find it absolutely fucking shitfest, honestly. It is an absolute fucking shitfest. And I like the word... John, FTS member John, linked me into Susie Dent. So I like Susie Dent. She's the dictionary corner on, Countdown? I think it is. She's the one who sits there with the old dictionary. He sent it to me because he wants me to mispronounce it, but it's just it's a great word and the meaning is brilliant. Ipsedixitism. It's the dogmatic assertion that something is true because someone somewhere said it without offering any supporting evidence whatsoever. The world is full of ipsedixitists. That's what it's full of. Ipsedixitists. They're everywhere. Absolute. Please, no one send me a YouTube video. YouTube is not evidence of anything. I couldn't give a flying monkeys who is on there. If Chris Whitty makes a YouTube video or... John Van Tam, I'll watch it. I am not interested in some other fucking numpty bloke. I mean, those two doctors in America, completely and utterly debunked. Goes around the world a million times. Complete and utter bollocks. I am not interested. Keep them for yourself. I know people are sending me them to try and wind me up, but new approach, fuck off. Bollocks. So, 100,000. They're the words I want to hear at 5 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be gutted if they don't come out of his mouth. I will be absolutely gutted. Fact of the day, did you know the letter M, if you're counting, the letter M doesn't appear until you reach a million? I never knew that. I hadn't even thought about it, to be honest, and probably nor would you. But the letter M doesn't appear, if you're counting, until you reach 1 million. Try it. Start now. You'll finish about 3 weeks' time. What else have we got? I'll be back to normal, as I say, from Monday. I've done Alexander's birthday. Happy birthday, Alexander. Book. This was actually, two people have suggested this to me, and I'm an Audible member. I'm going to get it with my next Audible credit, because it is expensive. But if you join Audible, you can actually get a £40 book for a credit that you get a month. So that's the way to do it. Peter Green, who lives in York, actually was at York Races one day, and just bumped into Peter. Lovely guy. Another one that I'd trust implicitly. So this is another book I haven't read, but I'm going to read. And it's called I Know What To Do, So Why Don't I Do It? And I think that is possibly very, very relevant to a lot of you guys. And it's sort of, reading the synopsis of it and a sample, it goes back to things I was saying in my first ever seminar, 2012-2013, that the excuses that people come out with, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I'm too stressed out, all these things for putting something off that people do, or blaming other things. It actually looks into why these factors paralyze you, and make it virtually impossible for you to take the actions needed to change your life. So even if you are reading books and you're highly motivated and you in your mind the goal is to do better, this book looks at this fact, there's internal sort of operations going on that are stopping you doing it, and how to really unpick your way through those. So sounds a really, really good book, extraordinarily powerful stress fighting tool that very few take advantage of. Six things to do when you think you've taken on more than you can accomplish. So mistake everyone makes when organizing their to-do lists. Exercise that can instantly tell you which side of your brain is dominant at any given time. I don't know whether it's the red and green trainer, but I'm going to finish this. I'm finishing the one that The Perfect Bet. I'm about halfway through that. Had a good chug on with that last night, and this will be my next one. So thank you for that, Peter. That is I Don't Know What To Do, So Why Don't I Do It, by Nick Hall, PhD. Right, that's the book. I had a joke as well. I got a joke. I actually thought this was serious. Greg Phillips. I don't hear from Greg very often. Greg's another one, big horse racing fan down in the West Country. Did come to Lingfield a couple of years ago, but he sent me. Thoughts and prayers, sent me a direct message. Very rarely does contact me. Sends me a direct message on Twitter yesterday or early this morning. Thoughts and prayers with you and Sam for the daughter and grandchild. And then goes on to say, I just adopted a dog. I thought, well, that's nice, great, Greg, but it's actually a joke. I just adopted a dog from a blacksmith. As soon as I got home, he made a bolt for the door. It's not bad, actually, Greg. It's not bad. It's not bad. But when I was reading your message, because you didn't say here's a joke for you, it just went straight into it. I thought you had adopted a dog. As soon as I got home. Just adopted a dog from a blacksmith. As soon as I got home, he made a bolt for the door. We've got poker tonight. I'm going to play. Sam said go ahead and play. She may not, because I think Jodie, it'll be the time roughly that Jodie's seeing the baby, so she'll probably want to be FaceTiming or whatever if she can. But I'm going to play. So it is Poker Stars as normal. Join the club. I'll post the details on Twitter again. And come on in. They're great fun. They're just good fun on a Friday night. So 7:30 start. There's breaks every 55 past the hour. Blinds going up every 5 minutes. Come on in. I won seventh the other day. I think it's getting closer, the big win. You'll hear about it when I win, don't you worry. Looks again, Portugal have announced that their football's coming back. Germany postponed the decision yesterday to the middle of next week. France have obviously cancelled and given the trophy to PSG. I think they've done it on a points per game average, worked it out. And then straight away, apparently, Lyon are talking about legal action. It's just a big mess. We're a bigger mess than most countries because of the money involved. The TV money that's been paid to clubs and having to go back and forfeit that money is what makes ours. Ours is so driven by the cash. That is half the problem, but it's going to be a mess whatever way they do this now. Now you're into May, you know, the clock's ticking, you're not going to get it done. The contracts are going to be the issue. So it will be interesting, but I think, you know, the Germans in the week will take the lead in this, and whatever they decide, if they decide to forfeit, I do think it will be difficult for us. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But we have got some coming back. Portugal have announced they're going to resume. So I've got a Portuguese stat for you here. Stat of the day in Portugal. Portugal, if you just do it blind, laying the draw, is just a good league for laying the draw. And the reason being, it is one league where the top teams tend to hold up. The Benficas, Portos, Sporting Lisbons, Braga. They do tend to hold up. So in the Portuguese Primeira last 3 years, where the home team is a top six side and where the away team is not a top six side, so you've got a top six side at home playing a side seventh downwards, laying the draw is 61.95 points up. 61.95 points up flat. Back in the home teams, obviously, short prices. Some of them back in the home teams, 11 points up. But the lay the draw is 61 points up. So that may well be a base for some people to look at in the Portuguese Primeira when it starts up. Just trying to see how many games that is. Just under 200 games over the last 3 years. Top six side playing a team ranked seventh or below on the day of the match. And that is, 61 points up laying the draw. So again, you could trade it, whatever you want to do. Just giving you a stat, that is all. Not had any other requests for stats as of yet, but we'll see what comes in. Done the book. Done the stat, done the fact, done the 100,000. There was something else I wanted to talk about. I don't know what happened with that pod yesterday when it all went quick, for those of you who listened early before I did the re-record. I have no idea what happened there at all. There was something else I really wanted to talk about, and I just can't remember what it was. Bugger, see, that's what happens when your brain goes. Did have a panic here yesterday. She had a full-on panic attack yesterday. Full on, couldn't breathe. I thought, here we go. But yes, I think we're all going to be okay now. We're all going to be okay. Oh, what was the other thing? It'll come to me at some stage. I do apologise. Oh, I'll tell you what was funny. I'll give him his due. Old It's a Mug Game, Steve Howe. Fair play. Really made me laugh in the week, Steve. I don't know whether it's been shown or is showing. He just put that he's obviously a Coventry fan. The Coventry Spurs Cup Final of 1987 is being replayed on BBC or ITV. One of the channels is showing it again. He said a great watch, great Cup Final, one of the best days of his life. And I'm sure as a Coventry fan it was. I was there. I actually went to the game. I think Steve did as well. But I went to the game and... it was horrible. I was 16. I went with my brother and I knew a guy who worked for Figurine Panini. Well, I went to school with somebody and his dad worked for Figurine Panini. And when Spurs got to the cup final, his dad said, I can get you a couple of tickets, because obviously they did the sticker albums for the leagues and that back then. So he got us two tickets, gave them to us, and me and my brother come out the station, walk up Wembley Way. You get to obviously the front bit where the Bobby Moore statue is now. I don't think it was there then. And you filter one way or the other. So we filtered right, because our tickets are telling us that's where the turnstile is. As we've gone round the corner, the gates aren't open yet. There's just a wealth of Coventry fans. And as we're going further, I thought, we're in the Coventry end. This is an absolute disaster. And it was terracing back then. There wasn't seats. You were stood. I thought, I can't stand in with Coventry fans. So sure enough, got to our gate. It was a Coventry gate. Just tons of Coventry fans there singing. So we've walked back round to the front and stood at Wembley Way. And just by pure fortune, two guys who had the opposite situation. They had Spurs in tickets and Coventry. So, you know, you swap them and you hope it's genuine. Swapped them and sure enough, get in, no problem. Doors open, in we go, and I'm pretty much bang in the middle of the goal, sort of halfway up the lower tier, just stood there. It's filling up. And then I feel my leg getting fucking warm. Bloke behind me, I mean, I hadn't been drinking. I can't remember whether you could drink in the grounds back then or whatever, but the bloke behind me, he's rolled up his programme. And he's pissing down it all over my leg. So I had to stand for the duration of the game, first with wet, pissy jeans, and then stinking of it. And obviously the result didn't go our way. But what Steve made me laugh, I put on back to Twitter to Steve, it was horrible, Steve had the wrong tickets, bloke pissed on my legs. And he came back and said, I had a great day, Ian. He said, I ended up in the Spurs end. He said, what I did, I got in there, rolled a programme up, had a piss. It just made me laugh, really made me laugh, Steve. Very funny, very, very good that was. Yeah, it was horrible. But in hindsight, I did say to him, it is one of those cup finals that I would watch again. Losing to Coventry is not quite the same as losing to Arsenal. I think John Sillett was their manager. For Coventry fans, you know, they don't win much, do they? It was a fantastic day out, I'm sure. And it was a good, you know, if you take it as a game of football to watch, a cracking game of football, some cracking goals, Houchin's header. But agony at the time, absolute shit day at the time. Wrong tickets, got pissed on and got beat. There we go. But did make me laugh, really. I actually burst out laughing when Steve put that back to me. Yeah, that was that. Something else, but I still can't remember. I thought while I was telling that story, it might come in my head. Right, guys, I think I'm done. We've done Sam's done recipes, I've done the fact, I've done the book, done the stat, done the joke. We've done the lot. As I say, thank you for all your well wishes. I am just going to, you know, sit with Sammy and she's desperate to get out there, absolutely desperate. If she had wings, she'd flap out there now. But I will be back to normal from Monday. And I think we'll be planning towards some football starting over the next few weeks. And of course, once that gets going, I'll let you know everything. As soon as the Ultimate Leagues, you know, I'll let you know the plans, but it'll be much the same. Straight back into it Friday mornings, the sheets will be out. Okay, have a lovely Friday, and I'll be back for you, as always, tomorrow morning.